Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to a new episode of Let's Learn About, the show where we teach you things you didn't really need to know, but we're going to teach them to you anyway.
Because if nothing else is going down, at least you've got time for learning.
There's always time for knowledge.
Always. And you're never too old to learn. Or too young.
Yes, exactly.
We cater to all ages, all genders, all spectrums. Mm-hmm. Everyone is allowed here. It's all good.
So one thing that we were just talking about before we started recording today is something that I'm about to do today on the site, but by the time this goes up, it will be done already. If you're interested in a particular topic that we have talked about on the podcast, by now we're like approaching 60 episodes, which is mental. I am going to add an index on the site. So it's going to kind of be split by category. All of our, if you go to the episodes page on our website, learnaboutpod.com, you'll see that all of our episodes have their own categories. So on this index page, I'm going to kind of split all the episodes up by category. So if you are interested in a particular subject, so whether it's like mythology or awesome women or whatever you're interested in learning about, that should be a really quick and easy way for you to go to the site and see what topics we've done within a certain subject. So
indeed. And also, talking of modifications to the site, Charlotte has been very busy over the Christmas and New Year period and has given the website a little bit of a funky makeover, which looks amazing. So if you, again, want to head to learnaboutpod.com, you can see all the sort of like brand new skin features that is now on the website. And also, if you go to the episodes page, there's now these really cute little picture I want to call them index cards for some bizarre reason. With starting from our latest episode, going back, it all looks lovely and new and shiny. So go check it out. And
and if you haven't been to the site before, that's where you can find out more about each of the topics as well. And if you're interested in a particular topic we cover, then there's all the links there where you can carry on learning if you want to, if you're nerds like we are.
Exactly. And that's why we do this podcast.
Yes.
Speaking of episodes,
yes,
it's your turn this week.
It is.
What have we got?
I'm excited about this one today. So as I was talking to you about, I read a book recently that is called What Would Boudicca Do? Everyday Problems Solved by History's Most Remarkable Women.
Nice.
And this book is basically a collection of 50 women throughout history. It goes back to like BC, like you've got these ancient warrior women right up to like people that are still alive today. People who have made like incredible sort of waves in whichever field they're in. Like, it's so diverse. You've got people in science. You've got entertainers. There's writers, politicians. Like I said, there's like ancient sort of warriors, and Cleopatra is in there. There's like loads of royals, all sorts of women.
So basically, many, many women that would potentially feature on our awesome women playlist.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah. And this book kind of gives you morals that we can learn from these women.
Oh.
And it's really cool. So some of the chapters in the book are things like Mae West and being body positive, Hypatia and being a geek and proud. Which,
yes.
Frida Kahlo and finding your style.
Oh, I love Frida. Sorry, I really need to do an episode about her one day. Yes.
Oh my God. Her terrifying bus crash, which I did not know about, which, my God, if we do an we definitely need to do an episode about her.
Yes. Write it down.
Impaled. She was literally impaled through
that woman.
And then there's like Rosa Parks and standing up to bullies. And there's loads more. So all the episodes are like this, where it's kind of like it focuses on a historical woman and then what we can learn from her in a sort of contemporary context.
Oh, wow.
There's also a chapter which, when I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, there's a chapter called Agatha Christie and Getting Over Heartbreak.
Agatha!
And I was delighted to find that as I went through this, as I read her story, it talks about exactly the same story that I talked about in our podcast.
So, yes.
Episode 52 of the podcast, I talked about Agatha Christie's disappearance for 11 days in the 20s. So yeah, I read this and I was like, oh my God,
oh, yeah.
I beat the book to it. Oh, I mean, yeah. It was published before I did the episode, but you know what I mean.
You got there first. It's okay.
So, yeah. In relation to that, that's what this episode is going to be covering a bit today. Mm-hmm. So if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you'll know that I'm very much into science and astronomy.
Most definitely, yeah. Yes.
And there are some historical women featured in this book that really made huge waves in the discovery of scientific theories and principles, or they helped to make STEM, science, tech, engineering and maths, more accessible to people who weren't rich, mm-hmm. educated white men.
Yep.
Because obviously throughout history, educated white men have been dominant in any sort of tech field. So anything to do with science, maths, engineering has always been a white male's world.
Yes. Even if the woman discovered it, 9 times out of 10, you find that it's a man that becomes the face of that discovery.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't, yeah. Mm. Which, you know, without getting into a rant, yeah. is one of the many things that pisses me off.
Yeah. So as the book explains, the world of science can seem very backwards when it comes to women.
Yeah.
So at the moment, women make up about 20% of the STEM workforce.
It's not enough.
Which has actually been a huge increase in recent years.
Oh, really? Oh, excellent.
The book that I mentioned, that states like 12 point something percent. So even since that was only released a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Over the past couple of years, there's been a big increase. There was something like a 6% increase just in 1 year.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I take back slightly what I said. It's still not enough, but it's better than what it was.
It's growing.
Yes.
So the words of the famously chauvinistic Nobel Prize winning biochemist Tim Hunt,
mm-hmm.
Weren't exactly encouraging. He said three things happen when you have a woman in a lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry.
Excuse me, Tim Hunt. I think you and I need to have words, Macy. And by words, I mean a slap.
I think he's in his 70s or something now, and he is like famously chauvinistic. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't care he's 70, I'd still slap him.
Yeah, and he's just... There's articles and stuff about, like, where has this woman-hating attitude come from? Despite the odd misogynist, women do have a bright future instead.
Yes, most definitely.
The women in this book kind of show that even when times are far tougher than ours now, so as I said, I'm talking women from, like, the 19th century or earlier.
Okay.
We can still make our own waves in traditionally male-dominated spaces.
Yes, we can.
So I'm going to talk about just a couple of these women today. So this is like one of our Awesome Women of History episodes, but instead it's Awesome Women of Science throughout history.
Yes!
So there are so many people I could talk about. So to stop this from being like ridiculously long and overwhelming, I've chosen three particular women to focus on. And those women are Ada Lovelace,
mm-hmm.
Marie Stopes,
yep.
and Wang Zhenyi.
Ooh.
Because there are so many of them, I could easily do a part two on this. So
part two.
Yeah.
Part two.
Please
part
let me
two.
Know.
Yes.
If you want more, because there are so many women I could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into this episode, we want to remind you of a couple of ways you can help support the show.
Make sure you follow us on social media to stay up to date. We are at LearnAboutPod on Instagram and Twitter.
You can also visit our website, learnaboutpod.com, where you'll find notes and resources for all of our episodes, and you can sign up to get notified of new and upcoming episodes via email. That's learnaboutpod.com.
Enjoy the show!
So the first person we have, Ada Lovelace.
Mm.
She was born in 1815 and she died in 1852. So she was the daughter of Lord Byron and Annabella Byron. And Lord Byron famously gallivanted and was known for having affairs.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, it says he famously couldn't keep it in his britches, which I love. So Ada's parents legally separated 2 months after her birth.
Oh, wow.
And Lord Byron left Britain forever. And Ada never knew him personally. Her mum never even had, like, pictures of him up.
Good.
Anyway, he was completely disgraced. And the only time she saw him was like when she discovered a portrait of him in the house, but the portrait had been covered by a cloth. So yeah, he was definitely not a prominent member of this house. So yeah, Ada was raised by her mother.
Nice.
Who encouraged her to learn subjects like science. Mm-hmm. And she hired top tutors to teach her daughter, despite at the time universities weren't open to women.
No.
But she still wanted to give her daughter like a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And I think she basically wanted her daughter to not grow up to be like her dad.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
So she, after all these tutors, she began to educate herself. She kind of found all these topics she was particularly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And she got help in some of her advanced studies by Augustus de Morgan, who was a mathematician who was the first professor of maths at the University of London.
So a pretty epic tutor then,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, quite a big deal. Mm. So at the age of 17, she was introduced by a mutual friend to Charles Babbage, who is known now...
I recognise that name,
he's known now as the father of the computer. So he's credited with having invented the first automatic digital computer.
That's where I know him from.
So
okay.
They corresponded regularly. Like, they became good friends. And they regularly corresponded about his ambitions to invent a steam-powered calculating machine. And later, his pioneering analytical engine, which was this first computer, which Ada actually built her own program for.
Oh, wow.
So with her kind of knowledge of maths, she was like the world's first computer programmer, basically.
That's cool.
So 10 years later, when she was 27, she published the first sort of definitive paper on the analytical engine. This was kind of unfortunately uncelebrated because obviously she was a woman, and it wasn't really paid much attention to until Alan Turing brought it to the public in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying, but I mean, Alan Turing is a guy.
Well, Alan Turing is a pretty epic figure.
I mean, I would love to do an episode about him at some point because he's also big in the world of like LGBT rights as well.
Well, I was going to say he is. Anyone who, this is a really weird side tangent, but anyone, the first episode of the second season of the British version of Drag Race started this week.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the runway shows, they did epic LGBT icons as their, because, and someone went as, I think it was Tia Kofi came on as Alan Turing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, yes, that is a very clever, because she had like a binary code suit.
Nice.
So it was a suit with ones and zeros all over it, and she was Alan Turing, and I was like, okay, that's really sweet and slightly from left field, but I like it. So sad that it was a man that brought it to the forefront.
I was just gonna say that
it was an LGBTQ representative is pretty cool.
A good guy. So Ada worked night and day on her studies. She was really dedicated, despite several bouts of ill health, which ultimately led to her addiction to opium. Full disclosure, she wasn't completely disciplined. Her fidelity to her husband was questioned, and she also used her mathematical prowess to create a system to help her unsuccessfully win at gambling.
So her mother's wanting to keep her as far away from what her father used to do, not 100% effective, but still kind of cool.
Yeah, she was still very dedicated to her work and her studies. But yeah, in terms of kind of her fidelity and like her gambling addiction, and then also an addiction to opium.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a, sounds like she was a bit of a troubled troubled child. But she worked hard, and her dedication never faltered. There was an early programming language, Ada, named after her. And now the second Tuesday in October every year has become Ada Lovelace Day, on which the contributions of women in STEM are honoured.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, she even though she kind of later on, she kind of maybe fell off the rails a little bit.
Yeah. Sort of a bit of a work hard, play hard situation.
Yeah. But she was so dedicated to tech, and like she was one of the first people. I mean, for like the 1800s, and she was one of the first people to be a computer programmer.
That's cool.
Very cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, because my brother's like, there's a 12-year age gap between the two of us. So he came up through school. And one of the things that they started teaching at school when he was at school was like coding. They could have coding lessons. Never more have I wanted to go back to school just so that I could learn to code.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a useful thing to know nowadays, and trying to teach it to yourself is bloody difficult.
Yeah.
So, if Ada Lovelace in any way was sort of helpful towards us getting to a point where we actually get taught coding at school nowadays, that's pretty epic.
Yeah. Yeah. So the second person that I'm going to talk about is Marie Stopes.
Yeah.
1880 to 1958.
Oh, wow. So closer to our time period then.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So because it's us, we can't have an episode about awesome women without talking about feminism and women's rights. And so many feminists consider the ability to decide whether or not to have children to be one of the single most liberating things to have happened to women in history. So that kind of making it women's choice has been one of the biggest things to come out of feminism. So since the beginning of time, women have kind of often been looked upon as like vessels to carry children.
Baby making machines.
But there was one woman who fought to change that. And that was Dr. Marie Stopes.
Oh, Dr. Marie Stopes.
Yes. She was a family planning pioneer.
Yeah.
So again, a quick disclaimer. Stopes was not perfect. And she had some less than ideal views.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty awful views, actually. Which means that she shouldn't be completely put on like a shining pedestal for being...
No.
For like women's equality. But I'll get to that. I'll do all the great stuff first.
Yes.
Later on, I'll kind of get to some of the stuff that's less than ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So she was born in Edinburgh to a suffragist mum and an archaeologist dad. So
always a good start.
Pretty great family. And for her first career, she was a fossil hunting paleobotanist.
Now that's a job title. Could you imagine that on a business card? Yeah. Fossil hunting paleontologist.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue.
So she graduated with a first from the University College London, and she gained a PhD from Munich University. And then she also became the first female academic at Manchester University.
Oh, wow. So pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah. She had a very unique interest in the sex lives of flowers.
Okay.
So kind of looking at reproduction of flowers, but she was also interested in her own. So she did some, dare I say, experimentation following a divorce from her first husband.
Okay.
And she took a very scientific approach. So she kept a record that someone found entitled, this is so great, Tabulation of Symptoms of Sexual Excitement in Solitude.
Oh, okay.
And she created like this revolutionary sex manual aimed at women.
Okay.
And she kind of scoffed at the idea that it was improper for women to like have some alone time.
Wow.
So the book, which was called Married Love, brought her huge fame, but it also brought along blazing rage from the Catholic Church.
I was going to say, was it men? men having a bit of a paddy about the fact that women apparently can look after themselves in that department?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this rage was sort of intensified when she released another book called Wise Parenthood, which was a concise guide to contraception. So the Catholic Church were not happy with Marie at this point.
Bloody Catholic Church and contraception. Get over it. It's a thing, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. But her real sort of trailblazing work took place when she opened a clinic in London in 1921. And it was a place where female doctors could give free advice and contraceptives to women.
Excellent.
Who wanted to choose whether they had children or not.
Which they should.
So she opened more and more clinics throughout the 20s. And then in 1930, she created the National Birth Council, National Birth Control Council, mm-hmm. Which is still alive and thriving today as Very the Family much so. Planning Association.
Yeah.
And they help millions of people each year take reproductive health into their own hands.
Yes.
So at the beginning of this section, I mentioned she kind of had some pretty radical views that were less than ideal.
Oh, no. I like the sound of her.
What I know.
What are you going to say? It is unfortunate. Make me not like her.
These things kind of shouldn't be glossed over when talking about her achievements. We've got to remember that people from kind of the past century and beyond, the views were very different back then. And these, yes. It's like when people, it reminds you of when people kind of put the Hamilton characters on a pedestal because of Hamilton, but they were actually like, when yes. there's like Jefferson and people like that, but Jefferson was actually one of the biggest slave owners.
And yeah.
The Schuyler family had many slaves. And yeah, it's like this where
society. And I hate using this as an excuse, but society was different.
Yeah.
And with that comes different views that yeah. were appropriate at the time, but yeah, not
today. Nowadays. A lot of people focus on people's achievements, but kind of push the rest of the stuff under the rug. So, yeah.
But you can't forget the rest of the stuff yeah. under the rug. So
possibly the worst belief that she had was encouraging sterilization, particularly for the poor.
Oh, no.
So she basically wanted poor people to be sterilized so they couldn't have poor children. She was also racist, believing that Southern Italians, among others, to be a lower race.
For fuck's sake.
And then also, despite her focus on the fact that women can choose whether or not they get pregnant, mm-hmm. she was massively anti-abortion. And
how?
So it was like, yeah, you can choose whether or not you get pregnant, but once you are pregnant, you're pregnant. Like, you shouldn't like have the choice to have an abortion, which doesn't make any sense. And she also identified herself as a eugenicist. And she fell out with her own son when he married a woman with poor eyesight because she didn't want grandchildren that would like possibly get like hereditary poor eyesight.
In the name of fairness, I understand why you
she was kind of very she had these views that today would be completely unacceptable,
yes.
and are kind of a bit hypocritical really
in many respects. Yes.
However, her primary cause and her sort of pioneering efforts in birth control and reproductive health
yes.
have ultimately sort of improved the lives of millions of women.
Yes, yes, most definitely, yes.
Yeah, so there's a charity, Marie Stopes International, which was founded in the 1970s, and it remains the leading family planning clinic in the UK today, and they also have outposts throughout the world too.
Oh.
So... She's done some real good, like for
real good
for like feminism today, and like for women's choice.
Yes, especially for women's choice.
Yeah, she's really done a lot of good, and yeah, she's kind of got all these. She had all those really dodgy views, but at the same time, we've got to sort of admire the fact that she has done so much for sort of women's choice.
And that's why we do this podcast, because we like to show both sides of the story, which is necessary a lot. We've discussed this in the past, what history lessons back at school used to like to gloss over.
Yeah.
We're definitely more of a reveal the bad parts.
Yeah. Celebrate podcast. The good things, but also remember the bad things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's good that we're learning about this,
yeah.
the good and the bad, yes.
Yeah. So the final person I'll talk about today is possibly my favourite out of these three. I think she's one person that is one of my new people I need to learn more about.
Okay.
And that is Wang Zhenyi.
Okay.
From 1768 to 1797. So we're talking to the 1700s here. We're going far back. So the authors of the book call her, you'll like this.
Yes.
The Brian Cox of the 18th century China.
Yes.
So Wang truly understood the importance of math and science in a person's education. And she had a genuine love of her subjects, and she believed that the key to learning was accessibility. So she was originally taught by her grandparents and her father. And she was lucky enough to grow up in a household filled with books. So she was a real bookworm. And as well as her interest in maths and astronomy, she wrote poetry, including poems about gender equality. And she was an excellent equestrian, and she was also skilled in martial arts. So
get you a girl that can do all the things.
Yeah. And also on top of that, she did this in a time when customs, especially in Asia, they made life as a woman very restrictive. Mm-hmm. So it was this whole custom of your feet should be small and your brain shouldn't be like your brain should also be small. And women were kind of considered morally, emotionally, and intellectually inferior.
Yay!
Yeah, but she managed to push through all this. Good. And at this time, there was a male mathematician called May Wending, mm-hmm. and he published a text called The Principles of Calculation.
Okay.
So Wang was a fan of this text, and she, but it was written in this sort of very aristocratic, hard to understand language.
Yeah.
So she decided to rewrite it. And she just took this guide, completely rewrote it as The Simple Principles of Calculation.
Excellent.
And it was in a style that was clear and much easier to follow. Because mm-hmm. as I said, one of her biggest passions was making science and maths accessible.
Which it should be, yes. Yeah.
So she did the same with these highly academic volumes of the Pythagoras theorem and also trigonometry.
Awesome.
So proper maths whiz.
Yeah.
And as well as her academic achievements, she was also an avid experimenter.
Excellent.
So at this time, lunar eclipses were thought of as a sign of the gods' anger.
Oh dear.
And when Wang kind of, she learnt about it, and she wanted to kind of squash these myths mm-hmm. that it was all down to the gods being angry.
Yeah.
And she created what she called the explanation of a lunar eclipse. Which was a fun and straightforward visual explanation of this astronomical event. And it's still considered pretty accurate today. So in her demonstration, she set up a round table in a garden pavilion to represent the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
She had a lamp hanging from the rafters of the pavilion to represent the sun. And then she held a round mirror for the moon. And then by sort of mimicking the conditions of an eclipse using this mirror and the sun's shadow, she showed that they could occur when the moon passes into the Earth's shadow.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do with the gods being mad. And she kind of, she gave this really simple visual explanation that showed the kind of the moon passing into the Earth's shadow, and that's what causes the eclipse.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing how she's did that. That's a really good way of explaining it.
And scientists have said today that it's still pretty accurate.
So
in an article she wrote called Of the Ball-Shaped Earth, it was also highly accurate. She attempted to describe why people wouldn't fall off a spherical Earth. And she also attempted to describe the cosmos and the relationship of the Earth within it.
Yeah.
It kind of made me laugh thinking that even she would have had to have dealt with like stubborn flat earthers. They were still obviously always have been these people that refuse to believe that the Earth is in fact round. And
it's nice to know that she was some kind of in history repeat themselves.
She was one of these people that she kind of actually wrote this article and came up with these visual demonstrations to show how gravity works and like how we won't fall off when the Earth is a ball. We won't fall off it into space. And kind of how the Earth works within the cosmos.
Well, I mean, I suppose that is one good thing about the flat earthers today. They can't get away with killing people for not believing that the earth is flat like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
I suppose that's one thing we've got going for us.
Yeah.
But,
So, unfortunately, Wang died at the age of 29 from illness. Yeah. Kind of really horribly short.
No.
But obviously, illness was kind of a very big thing in the 1700s. Yeah. And, but in her very short life, she showed that science can be very exciting and mysterious, but most importantly, it can be accessible.
Yes.
And she also showed that kind of with a love of science and maths, also with a love of art and poetry, she kind of showed that you don't need to be pigeonholed into being either artsy or academic. You can do both.
Exactly, which is something that if no one takes anything else away from this episode today, it's that you don't need to be one thing or the other. You can be all the things if you so choose. It's all about choice, people.
Yes. So there are three women out of so many. Like, I barely even, when I was looking through the book to kind of pick people for this episode, I was not even halfway through. Like, there's so many people that would be incredible to talk about.
These
women kind of made these huge advancements in various scientific fields, from computer programming and astronomy to women's reproductive health.
Yes.
And I hope women like these kind of encourage you, if you're into science or maths or anything to do with STEM, like engineering, tech, you can go out into the world of STEM. And if there are men trying to kind of get you down, just know that you can do it. And you might even end up being a trailblazer yourself. Like, you could be the person that comes up with this whole new kind of idea, or you might end up being some sort of trailblazer in your own life. And men suck, so ignore them.
Especially the chauvinistic ones like Mr. Hunt. Yes, no, we are a strong encourager of STEM here at Learn About Pod. And the artistic as well. Just go for it. I certainly wish that there was stronger. And I mean, we were talking about this earlier. We do a lot of talking before we record these podcasts. about how long it's been since we were both at school. Trying not to feel old here. But yeah, even the difference in how much STEM is encouraged since we went to school.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. And if we can make that 20% get closer to 50%.
Yeah.
All the more better.
Yeah, so definitely.
Fingers crossed that should be at the speed of which it's going in the not too distant future, which will be really awesome.
Yeah. So as I said at the start, there are tons more episodes like this where I could do, where I talk about multiple people in one episode. Because I think one thing we're finding is that there's so many incredible women that we want to talk about, or just people in general that we want to talk about. And there's just not enough time in the world for us to cover every single one of them in their own individual episode. Like,
exactly.
We could be here for like decades trying to
and even if we were here for decades trying to, there's new people turning up every single day.
So I thought one like this where I cover multiple people kind of within the same
bracket,
genre of
genre person, of people,
the same sort of field like this, where I did science. Like, I've got some of the ideas for future episodes that I've got of women in writing, fashion, tech, and lots more. So I mean, like we were talking about Frida Kahlo, there are so many women in fashion. Coco Chanel is another one that is included in that book.
She's pretty epic.
And there's women in fashion that have been sort of these trailblazing women.
Yeah, artist warriors. There's been some pretty epic. I mean the title of the book is What Would Boadicea Do? I mean, you could talk about warrior women. So we will continue to do, because it's probably our biggest playlist of episodes is our Awesome Women of History episodes. So we will continue to do some episodes where it's single individuals per episode, and then there will be other episodes where we do multiple women in each episode.
If there's any sort of particular ones that you're interested in, then please let us know. then yeah, you can get in touch on our social media. We're at Learn About Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And then, as we said at the beginning, we're learnaboutpod.com, our website, and you can get in touch with us there. If there's anyone in particular that you want us to focus on, or if you know about anyone you want to come on and talk about them, then please do. We were kind of discussing a couple of days ago how we'd love to get more guests on the show this year.
Yes, we've had some excellent guests in 2020. It was our year of guests, and we've had some excellent people on that we've loved talking to, and we've loved listening to what they've got for us. And we'd love to continue that. We'd love to have more of you on.
So if you just know anything, or you're happy to research a topic that you might want to know more about or whatever, then we're very happy for you to just come and chat with us for an hour about... Just tell us what you know about a topic that you love.
And exactly.
Yeah, we'd love to feature you in an episode. So
give us a shout.
Yeah, let us know. But yeah, I hope these women have inspired you to go out and be a badass in the world.
Yes.
And we will see you next week with a new episode.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.